Our assigned lectionary gospel reading for this Sunday in the season of Pentecost again comes from Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 25. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and it is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to preach on this passage? The sermon is entitled, "Discipleship Comes with a Price." But it just as easily could be, "Everything comes with a price." That's reflected in the nugget of wisdom that claims that nothing in life is ever truly free. And this morning we're going to explore that premise, that there is a price to pay for everything in life. If that is indeed the case, then the question must always be on the forefront of our hearts and mind: can I afford what this is going to cost? Cost is what we give up to acquire, accomplish, maintain, or produce something. It necessarily involves an element of sacrifice. In short, cost requires our effort and our resources. And the most obvious application of this deals with our finances. Do you or I, do we really have enough money or choose to go deeper into debt in order to acquire something we want or even something we need? It is indeed wise to count the cost before we purchase a new home or a car, to decide to collect fine art, including pottery, to travel the country or take a trip overseas, to send the kids to college, to maintain or renovate a home, to buy season tickets, or anything else on which you or I choose to spend our hard-earned money. Well, the same applies to how we budget and spend our money here at the church. In order to be the good stewards that we are called to be, we must always count the cost first. And the session of this church, made up of 12 ruling elders, our clerk and myself, pay very close attention to how we prepare the yearly church budget, which we will be doing over the next month. But there are other areas of life besides finances, and just as important, in which we need to count the cost before jumping into head first. When we, for instance, enter a relationship with another person, there is indeed a price to pay. It will cost us in time, energy, emotion, passion, and a lot of hard work to make that relationship work. Ask anyone who is a parent, and they will tell you that in addition to financial resources, there is a heavy commitment of time and patience and mental, emotional, and physical energy necessary to raise a child, let alone a teenager. Ask anyone who is an accomplished musician or singer or artist. And they will tell you about the cost and the hours and hours of practice, therefore time away from others, in order to be good at what they do. And the same applies to any professional in the development of her or his skill. And just ask anyone in school the price that they must pay for getting good grades. So I reiterate, nothing worth very much in life is truly free. Therefore, if we really want something that we better count the cost first, before we start a project, or enter into a relationship, or join an organization, or begin a new job, or volunteer for a task, or move to a new house, or buy a high-ticket item, or whatever. For if we don't, we increase the likelihood of giving up, or failing, or adding hardship and distress in one way or another. And all of this, as we learn in today's gospel reading from Luke 14, also applies to choosing to be a follower of the ways and teachings of Jesus. We are warned in no uncertain terms that faithful discipleship is not for the faint of heart. In fact, we're left with the remarkably tough question, can I really afford to follow Jesus? Can you? Can I? Jesus warns a large crowd that has gathered to hear him teach that there is a heavy price to pay in following him. And they better count the cost first to see if they are really willing and able to pay it. And these words of warning still apply today, and especially when it comes to church leadership. So on this day here at the church, what we call Rally Day, for example, we are reminded that counting the cost of discipleship applies to those who volunteer to be church school teachers, or as part of our Worship Connection program for our youngest children. It also applies to ruling elders, and especially those currently serving on the session, as well as to all of you who have volunteered to serve on one of our ministry teams. It most certainly applies to the person who stands before you as your pastor. In addition to serving this community of faith in any number of ways, there is also a cost in serving the larger community, especially in interfaith work, and in serving our denomination in my work within the presbytery, and agreeing to teach Presbyterian polity as an adjunct faculty at Phillips Theological Seminary this semester. And yes, it is true that it also applies to each and every one of you who are members of this congregation. So Jesus uses two parables to make the point. The first one is similar to the example that I gave on renovating a house, especially if it includes building on a new room. Drawing from an example of farming life, we hear about a person who wants to build a tower in a vineyard from which the farmer can stand watch against thieves and wild animals. And to begin to build such a tower and have to abandon the project when it is only half completed because one has run out of money would make the builder look foolish. In that ancient culture, and to some extent today, it would cause much shame. And similarly, the second parable, said in the context of international politics, assumes common sense on the part of a king contemplating waging war on an enemy. No king would knowingly lead an army into slaughter or into a situation where he could be forced to an unconditional surrender. Rather, the king whose troops are outnumbered will pursue a diplomatic solution. But how many times throughout history has this advice not been taken? And what has been the real cost, for instance, in our war in Afghanistan? The point of Jesus' two parables is that at the very least, we should try to avoid disaster or obvious failure in whatever we undertake. We are called then to recognize the cost before entering into a new venture. And we should choose our course carefully, realistically, and I would add prayerfully. Again, as Luke rightly reminds us, this principle applies to faithful discipleship as well. For true discipleship does not mean simply tagging along behind Jesus, or in Luke's historical setting, becoming a member of the church in a rush of enthusiasm that evaporates as quickly as it appears when the going gets too demanding, or one's interests or energy move on to something else. So Jesus sharply confronts us with the priority of our commitments. That's why Jesus warns us to count the cost of discipleship before saying yes. But now in reality, and based on other of Jesus' teachings, Jesus isn't really telling us to hate the ones we love most dearly, nor to give up everyone and everything we have. That's called, in biblical scholarship terms, messianic hyperbole. But rather, it is about checking our loyalties and our priorities and putting God and the ways of God first. So again, we're warned to count the cost. But in order to fill the pews in many declining congregations today, perhaps churches are making the decision to become a church member too easy. We are tempted not to challenge people, lest we chase them away. And our Presbyterian denomination is actually quite demanding in its list of what it means to be an active member in one of its congregations. It involves a calling to active involvement that includes faithful stewardship, faithful worship attendance and participation in the life and the ministry of the congregation, and faithful living in our daily lives. Yet pastors, including myself, rarely hold our collective feet to the fire. After all, a community of faith is, for the most part, a volunteer organization. And in our culture of ever-declining church membership and participation, we don't want to push people too far in asking them to count the cost of discipleship. But in the long run, is that really being fair by not sharing Jesus's and therefore our expectations of what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Perhaps we need to ask, do you really know what you're getting yourself into? Do you realize what being an active part of a community of faith really entails? Well, one biblical commentator writes, a church that does not spell this out clearly to prospective members or to its constituency proves false to the good news. But another commentator states, the irony is that churches with high standards attract people with high standards. Their integrity and commitment draws others, and soon their pews are full. That's something to think about. Discipleship, then, is serious business and not to be entered into lightly. Jesus let his disciples know that the road he is walking is not without its sacrifices. To follow Jesus is not without its heavy demands, and to carry the cross is not without its tangible consequences. So we must ask of ourselves, are you and I willing to endure these tangible consequences? Well, in our best moments, knowing what we have just heard today and in this passage is indeed hard to hear, it is my hope that each of us will do so willingly. Amen.